It's, you know, if you're in this place and you don't have it all together, you got areas of your life that are not working amazingly well and broken, and you're in the right place. Because you get to connect with and hang with the master of restoration. He can take whatever life is given to him, no matter how devastated it is and how many pieces it's in. And he lovingly, amazingly puts it all back together. And if you've been a Christian long enough, all you know is the only reason you're together is because of Christ. The only reason I've got a great marriage and a great life and what have you is because of Jesus. I know what my life would be if I was in control of it. Just a little bit of that chorus. Just sing a little bit. And if you're in this place and you kind of just have been doing it all yourself, just surrender your life to Christ. He's gonna make it beautiful. He's the master. Don't try and do it yourself. There's refuge.
Forever I'll sing. The winds come to life and the beauty of your name. Up from the ashes, forever you reign. And my soul will find refuge in the shadow of your name.
Come on, surrender to him.
Forever. And forever I'll see. Name rising up from the ashes, forever you reign. Well, we'll find refuge in the shadow of your wings. I will love you forever. And forever I see the winds come to life in the shadow of your name, rising up from the ashes, forever you reign. In the shadow of your wings, we love you forever.
Oh, there's just a great sense of God in this place. Jesus. Can I just say something from my heart that I believe God's just put in my heart? There's some people in this place, and literally I feel the Holy Spirit just saying to me, just tell them to trust me and surrender. Just trust me and surrender. I'm not just talking about people that aren't Christians. Just trust me and surrender. I'm going to work in the brokenness. I'm going to take the ashes and make them beautiful. I'm going to move through their lives. And years ago, I got this image that God has imprinted on my head. And it's like God is constantly looking at you as if there's no one else on this earth. Constantly. And the only way I can describe it as a father is when you see a little child, or as a mother if you're in this place, and you see a little child, and normally they're asleep and they don't know you're looking, but you look at them, you have these amazing, I don't know, you just get overwhelmed with love. Does anyone else? You just look at your child and you just gaze at them, and they can't see you and they're not acknowledging it. They're asleep. When they're asleep, children are quite cute. And I kind of get God's like that with you. As if there is no one else on this earth. He's got the ability. And his eyes are just filled with love, and he's just watching your every word like a little child watching. And whenever you get hurt, he's just like, and he's waiting for you to invite him just to get involved in some areas of pain and hurt in your life. And if you invite him in and if you allow him to, he'll just smother you with love. Amen? And I kind of just think there's people in here, God just saying, just surrender, trust me, I'll look after you. Amen? So, we're going to hear the word. I'm looking forward to, and this woman of God is one of my favorite preachers. She's a great, great woman of God, and she, I don't know, she just lives, she puts her heart on her sleeve and lives out there and gives, but she always has an amazing word and a great insight and revelation from God. So why don't we give Janine a hand as she comes and shares.
Hey, church. Is that on? 1, 2. Is that good? Is that, yeah? That's good. Hey, before you sit, I had a word from God too when we were worshiping. And you know what? We could have just carried on worshiping, yeah? But you know, I felt the same, that God was saying just to surrender. Just to surrender, that he's got it all under control, but you got to give him space to allow him that confidence in your life. Because if you don't allow him, what's going to happen? We're going to try fix it, yeah? Peter's going to play Paul, la, 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 la. But if we surrender that to him, he will be the one that's the hero. Amen? So what I want you to do, stand up. I want you to turn to the person on your left or right and just say, just surrender, babe. Come on, boys. Awesome being a son of the house, yeah? Awesome. Hey, why don't you take a seat? Gareth, did you say that? Did you say that to Fareed? Just surrender, babe? Yeah? And Jill. And to Jill. Hey, why don't you turn your Bibles? Turn your Bibles to Joshua. It's a well-known verse that I'm going to be speaking from today. But you know, it's so relevant for the church today. It's Joshua 7. Joshua 7, chapter verse 1. Let me just tell you just what's happened so far. Joshua is now, of course, the leader of amazing people group, the children of Israel, and there's a lot of them. And he's been successful to cross the Jordan. He's been successful to take leadership over from his mentor, Moses. That's massive in itself. He was successful at dressing the men for circumcision. That's big in itself, yeah? And he's also, come on, boys. Sorry, I didn't mean it to go there. I'm just reading from Bible. And he's also successful with the defeat of Jericho. And Jericho was a fortified stronghold that God had to get through to move his people and just go a certain way when it came to the promised land. So this is what's happened so far. And let me just read a little bit in, while you're at 7. Let me just read a little bit at 6, chapter 6, verse 15. And then it goes, on the 7th day, this is what happened in Jericho. So on the 17th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city 7 times and they sounded the trumpet blast. Joshua commanded the army to shout, "For the Lord has given you the city." The city and all that is in it. So not long after that, of course, Jericho came down. So the scene right now in verse 7, in chapter 7, verse 1, let's just take it from there. And it goes, but the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. And Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, and the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of the things. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Avon, to the east of Bethel, and told them, go up and spy out the region. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And when they returned to Joshua, they said, not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it, and do not weary the whole army, for only a few people live there. Verse 4. So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. And they chased the Israelites from the city gate as far as the stone quarries, and they struck them down on the slopes. And at this, the heart of the people melted in fear and became like water. Verse 6. Then Joshua tore his clothes and he fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. And the elders of Israel did the same thing and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of Jordan. And pardon your servant, Lord, what can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? You guys still with me? And the Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this, and they will surround us, and they will wipe out our name from the earth. What then will you do for your own great name? In verse 10, I love the Lord, he says, stand up, what are you doing? Face down. Let me pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. That's your word that transforms people's lives. It's your word that brings change. And God, I just pray for ease right now in their spirit. Amen. So what's happened now is that the children of Israel have just got a hiding from Ai. That's what's happened. They've celebrated in their celebration of taking Jericho, and then there's this great story of Rahab that we know what happened to her, and you know, her new life, and now Joshua's fame grew because of God. But during all the celebration, during all the things that Joshua had to do concerning the children of Israel, they decided to take Ai on without consulting God. That's what happened. They did not see God in this picture. In fact, they say, you know, don't wear the army out. Don't worry. You know, don't bother sending all the men. It's fine. It's okay. They've only got a little amount of people there. Don't do it. They didn't consult God about Ai. Israel was under the government of God and is recognized as he's recognized as a supreme ruler, but not in this instance. They remained ignorant of the sin of Achan. If they kept God as the consultant, God would have told them about Achan, and they would have dealt with that sin, but no, they didn't want to do that. They underestimated the strength of Ai, they overestimated the strength of their own army, and they presumed God was with this. And it says that the people's heart melted with fear and with water. You know, when I look at that, I was thinking about when I was preparing for this word. And you know, it associated with us today. Very much the same with me today. And what happened to Joshua? He just got busy. He got busy after Jericho and all the celebration and all the havoc and everything that went on and day-to-day things. Joshua got busy. And you know, the enemy comes in and he's really, really subtle. It's not bang and he gets you. He just starts mounting the ice cube on the bench. And if you leave an ice cube on the bench for too long, guess what's going to happen? it's going to start mounting by itself. And I don't believe Joshua turned his back on God. I don't believe that at all. I believe he loved God and he saw the greatness of God. But I believe Joshua got caught up. I think he just got caught up with the things of the day. I mean, who'd like to run 1 million people? It's not an easy job. I've got problems running my own team of five. What I'm saying here is Joshua loved the Lord, but he forgot. He got caught up. Who's like that? I mean, I'm like that. Come on. That's what we've been hearing about Pastor Andrew speaking about our identity. It's not that we don't love the Lord when we sin, but we just occasionally sin. And then what happens is that we just keep staying outside where God wants us to be. And we start mounting on the bench top. Then we go ahead and we make our own decisions without God, and wham, AI. You got a church? You know, some of you may know that I've been juicing, and very proud of that. Our whole family's been juicing. And you know what? Well, I've been juicing since the beginning of January. And you know, when you're doing something, in the beginning it's fantastic, yeah? Easy. You know, you're out there walking, pumping, putting photos on Facebook and comments. You know what? After a while, guess what? Oh, you know what? I'll just sleep in today. Oh, you know what? I'll just have toast and coffee. I'll pick up tomorrow and I'll do an extra routine. Or I'll juice more. And then what happens, and this is what happened, I started to do that. And when I realized what I was doing, I had to realign myself and do heavy juicing again to get me back into the course where I should be healthy. It's exactly the same with our spiritual life. You know, one day we wake up, and I know everyone's devotions is somewhere. Some do it in the morning, night, midnight, whichever. Whatever deal goes, it works for you, it works. What happens, and I'm totally speaking from experience, is where you say, you know what, I won't do it this morning, but I'll do it lunchtime. What happens at lunch? You know what, I've got to go see a client, I'm going to do it later. Later comes, oh, I've got to do something else. You know what I'm saying? And what happens? I just miss out. The next day, it could be easier to miss out. And what church I believe happened with Joshua, with AI, wasn't something massive, but it was worse. It was something that continued. And when they took out AI, oh no, it's okay, you know, well, yeah, we've had a big victory, you know, we've just taken out Jericho, that's fantastic, yeah. You know, we'll just send 3,000 men. You know how many men were in AI? 120,000. They didn't consult God at all. If you have a look, how God is actually part of that decision making is in Jericho. He strategically got them to do things around the wall. I mean, that's crazy, eh? Around the wall, in silence, around the wall. But it meant something to God. So what I'm saying, church, it's about that stuff. It's about taking hold of subtleness and putting it where it should be. And just take it on, your word, your devotions. Be very, very hardcore when it comes to the things of God. Have a date with God. Have a date with him. If you've got to put it in your iCal and your make sure you do that. Put your alarm on. Make sure you do that. But whatever you do, don't become the ice cube, because that is what's going to happen. Joshua loved God. Goodness me. He loved God, but he just got busy with the normal things of running a massive amount of people, and he forgot. Amen? We good? Yeah? Just let that sink into your spirit. Just let that sink into your spirit this morning. Go back to the Bible. Let me have a look. Go to verse 6. Let's have a look. What happened to these guys? And then Joshua tore his clothes and he fell down to the ground before the ark of the Lord and remaining there till evening. And the elders, even the elders of Israel, did the same and they sprinkled their heads. You know what? This shows me of a really, really wise man. He knew what happened. He knew something went wrong. And then he tore his clothes and he humbled himself. He went where? Down. He went down. And you know, this morning, the great thing about God is that we are able to do that. When we come out of that relationship with God, either subtly or purposefully, whichever way it is, there's always a way back where God will speak to our hearts and he will allow you to be in that right place with him. You know, it speaks to me of a place of desperation, yeah? These guys are desperate. Because what's happened now is that the defeat of Ai is massive. Massive. These guys have walked into a country, a land that does not belong to them. And they need God to be able to step them through. But because Ai's happened, they're thinking, oh my goodness, something's happened. And the desperation that Joshua and his leadership did was that they humbled themselves before God and they repented. How easy is that? Huh? It's not hard. Some of us may be thinking and sitting in this building right now, man, I'm totally mounted. I'm water. But you know what? God, if you know him, the God that we serve, the God that Joshua served, he's a dad that's waiting for people to come back. That's what he's about. He's not about being hard-fisted. Sure, he needs to be something, challenge us on our character. But you know what? He's always waiting for the sons and the daughters to return home. He's always waiting. And these guys were in total desperation that God heard their call. And then we'll talk about it a little bit soon. You know, just this week, I got a phone call from an agency that I've only dealt with once. And when I dealt with them before, we had a successful, the client came out really successful to a point that they're a part of us now. Which was great. So these guys rang me again and they said, you know, would you look after another client? So I said, yes, we will. And you know, they said to me, but there's a couple of things with her. And I said, what is it? And they said, number one, she doesn't speak English. I says, awesome. And then number two, she's got 5 children. The last 3 children are triplets, and they've all got a disability. I said, wow, we're going to take them. The harder it is, I think, we take them. Because no one else takes them. So we take them, and God becomes the hero. The other thing with her was she was also escaping domestic violence. And so I thought to myself, you know, we're going to take her on. And one of my volunteers is actually fluent in, what's your language? Arabic. Sorry, Mona. Fluent in Arabic. Fluent. And so we connected the client with me and my volunteer. And we had a 3-way conversation. Easy. Easy, easy. And anyway, at the end of that conversation, she told me about her life and all that. And you know, she's a very proud woman, and I get it. Beautiful girl. And she told me about her children. And you know, when I looked, she said back to the interpreter, most people have said no. Is she going to say yes? That's all she wanted to know. And I said, we'll take it. And she just broke and cried. And on the table in Pastor Andrew's office was a girl that was in total desperation for her babies, for her lifestyle here. No furniture. She's now the van's now full of furniture for her. But what I'm saying, this girl was desperate that God moved us to be collide with her, and now we've got an answer to prayer. She was desperate. You know, she took away her pride. And she became humble. And sometimes that's what we need to do. Don't reason. Just do it. And it's easy. All you got to say is, God, I'm so sorry for breaking your heart. I'm so sorry. I'm back. And you watch. He'll just throw everything behind you to make you a success. How I know is because I'm one of those. You're one of them. You know, one more story. Let me just tell you this other one. There was a family in this church that's really desperate for finances. Full on. And the wife was saying, you know what? It got to a point with us on Monday. And she said, God, I am desperate. You got to come through. Unbeknownst to her, God told someone else in the church, you know what he's like, can't keep it to himself. He told someone else, another couple in the church. They got together and they gave an envelope over to this family. And again, that shows me the desperation of even our needs. And I don't know what your desperation is. I don't know what it is. It could be health. It could be finances. It could be education. It could be employment. But you know what? The more you stay out and mounting, I tell you, you just keep closing that door on God. But if you just surrender to God, you'll come in such a way of desperation that he will heal where you're hurting. Guys, know what I mean? Yeah, church? It's easy. We complicate things. He doesn't. We make it hard. He doesn't. We try reason. He never does. The same God that forgave and worked with Joshua for Ai is the same God that is challenging you today. It's okay. Amen? Here's the last point. I want to give time this morning for ministry. And so we're going to read from we're going to read from chapter 7 and just the last one, the last verse, which is verse 10. And it goes like this. And the Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? You know, when I was trying to work it all through with my word this morning, I was getting some senses from God about sometimes we have to address where we fell. Yeah? Sometimes we've got to address things that actually where we started mounting. And I love what he says also in chapter 8 and verse 1. Have a look at there. Chapter 8, verse 1. And it goes, then the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. But take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. He had to take Joshua back. He doesn't always do that with people. But I knew on this circumstance, he had to take where the offense was. And the offense was in Ai. Because if Joshua didn't go get through Ai, he's never going to get through. Yeah? Not if you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. Because sometimes he's got to take us back to go forward. And then God here, he says, straight away, he says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army up. And this is what we're going to do. I just love it how God took control of Ai. He not only did that, but he strategized with Joshua how to actually do it. And on that day, he defeated Ai in killing 120,000 people. And to this day, Ai cannot, there's actually a little bit of a challenge where people cannot actually find Ai on the earth because he's totally got rid of it. Awesome. That's your God. And what he had to do, he had to take him back, totally get rid of where the offense was, where you can't see it anymore, and they marched on. That is who we serve. And you know, that's how God is. I remember when we first got When we first got Hoodie, our dog, Hoodie's our dog, and Pastor Andrew was talking about Max, and Max is so cute. Hoodie's not cute. Hoodie's, you know, he's aggressive. He's a Rottweiler. Come on. Anyway, you know, when he was around 18 months, we got him when he was 6 weeks old, and beautiful, beautiful. And I always said to Luke, don't get a dog because we can't look after dogs because of the way our lifestyle is, yeah? Who understands? What teenagers want dogs now? Don't give them. Don't get it. Because you all end up looking after them. And Hoodie's now seven years old. So we've had him for 7 years. And when he was around 18 months, Jack took him for a walk and took him up to Forest Road. And Forest Road in the morning is extremely busy and loud. And what Hoodie did, he reared up, twisted his neck, and he totally broke the leash. Like, whoa, you know. And where he ran, instead of not down Sackville Street, he ran towards Forest Road. On the middle of Forest Road during peak hour, running opposite the traffic, dodging. And cars were tooting their horns. Oh, not dog lovers. And Hoodie was just totally scared. And Jack finally got through the lanes and pulled him back and got him by the collar, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And what we could have done as parents, we could have, there he is. And what we could have done to him, isn't that amazing? That's our dog, everyone. Next week we'll have Max up there and then Bea, then Lexi, and anyone else's, Miss May. And, Beatty. And you know what? We could have, as parents of him, we could have just put him in the backyard and just avoided Forest Road. But what we did, we got a new leash and took him straight back onto Forest Road. And he walked it. 5 years later, he walks Forest Road and he's okay. But if we didn't take him back where that offense was, he'd be a shattered inward, I was going to say person, inward dog. He's actually a dog, Janine. Isn't he, Trent? A big dog. But he would have been a shattered animal. But he's not. He's quite the opposite. You know, it's a little bit with God. You can take that off, Jack. And it's a little bit like God when it comes with us. We're not animals. I know that. We're not talking about that. But I'm talking about how some things with our offenses, we need God to go back with you with that. And you need healing to go forward. Wherever that is, and whatever that is. And I know this morning, Jorge, Lourdes' team, they're going to be having the opportunity to pray. And I really want to encourage you to do that. Because you don't want to be stuck, man. You don't want an AI in your life. You don't want that. You want to have a successful, streamlined, going somewhere with God. So you know what, church? Just today, just be very, very conscious that the enemy is not subtle in your life, that he takes out your reading and your devotions. Number two, just be desperate for him, man. Just be desperate for him. And you just allow him to see him work. And the third one, of course, those AIs, then they just need to be brought to attention. And they need to go to their knee. Amen? Hey, come on, why don't we just pray? Why don't you close your eyes? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just be at ease, church. Be at ease. Just be at ease. To stay in this atmosphere, and Tati is just gonna she's just gonna sing something from her heart. But to stay in this atmosphere, and while she's singing, I want you to consider something. Consider where you are with God. Consider where you are, and just allow Him to just move in your heart right now. Don't pull away, but lean into Him. Don't start reasoning. Don't start having clutter. Just allow him to just bring some openness and some healing. Thanks, Tati.